word together. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for just again the reminder of how we are dependent upon you and how we need your guidance and strength in these days. And we thank you for just the confidence it gives us, knowing that you are our great shepherd. And as we prayed for Amy and Liam's brother and Cindy's mom and Rudy's mom, Lord, we know that there are significant health issues that are being addressed by our loved ones. But we are also minded of each of our needs that we have here this morning. They may be unmentioned. Perhaps the only person that knows of these needs is you. And I pray that you would just put your loving arms around each and every one of us, and may we sense that strength and comfort that comes in knowing that you care for us. As we look at your word, I pray that your spirit would help us to be focused on you. And may your spirit just teach us something new as we look at your word. And may we trust where it says that when your word goes out, it doesn't go out empty. Just touch us touch each one of us in the place where we have our greatest need this morning, I pray. And may we leave this place changed because we've been in your presence. We want to give you thanks, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The 23rd Psalm is a very familiar psalm to many of us, maybe to all of us. The 23rd Psalm is often read at funerals, and I've done my share of funerals, and I've used it often because of the comfort that these words give to us. And it's important to have the comfort come from God's word. The 23rd Psalm is probably right up there with the Lord's Prayer, most often recited. It's a psalm that we've learned, many of us who have been in the church for a while, way back in Sunday school. And many of us, if I were to pigeonhole you probably could recite most of it, if not all of it, because it's a short psalm, but it's a very meaningful psalm. And I thought, as we begin this morning, why don't we read it together? And I have it on the PowerPoint, and we'll read it together, since your version of your Bible might be different than this one that I've picked. But this is kind of the one that I memorized. And so why don't we stand and just read the 23rd Psalm together, starting at verse 1 there. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. Those are great words. And the meaning of those words are very significant. And I hope this morning as we look at this that we will have a significant perspective on Jesus as our shepherd. It's a privilege to think about the Lord caring for His people as a shepherd. Now, I don't know if any of you have had anything to do with sheep. I never have, but I've read a lot about sheep. Sheep aren't the smartest animals on the planet. There's just a very limited amount of information a sheep's brain can retain. And one of the things that a sheep has the ability of is recognizing its master's voice. Candy and I had the privilege back a number of years ago to go to Israel. And we drove on this big highway coach from Jerusalem to Bethany down to the Dead Sea and all over Israel. And I remember one particular time we were buzzing down the highway. We must have been going at least 60 miles an hour. And to the left side of the highway was this massive sheep's herd of sheep. I don't know if sheep are in herds. So a herd of sheep. And they were coming towards the highway. And there was this intersection. And they were coming down this side road towards this major highway that we were traveling on. And we were perhaps a little ways away from them. But they were moving. The shepherd was leading them. And all I could imagine was this massive collision in this intersection with this herd of sheep, which was hundreds, and this tour bus that was going so fast down this little highway. And you know, as we got closer and closer, a miraculous thing happened. The shepherd stopped, and all the sheep behind him stopped. Until the bus went flying by them. They didn't flinch. They weren't scared. The bus went by, and they looked behind. The shepherd started walking across the road, and the sheep followed them. Now, if you had a group of dogs that weren't leashed, you would have lost a few of them, I'm sure of it. Because dogs don't like to be sitting and waiting. You know, they're active and they're going. If you had a bunch of cows, I'm sure they would have just kept on walking. Who cares if the guy who's leading stops? The cows, unless they're leashed or there's some way to hold on to them, the cows would have kept on going. But not the sheep. Hundreds of sheep came to a dead stop because the shepherd stopped. I know, man, that was amazing. And I thought, for sure there's a sermon in there. But the significance of how the sheep were focused on the shepherd. Now, I don't know if the shepherd said anything. Probably did. And when he stopped, they all stopped right behind him, and they didn't move until the shepherd moved. That's one of the significant things with sheep. When the shepherd does something, they respond. When the shepherd stops, they respond. They are totally focused on the shepherd, and they trust the shepherd completely. Completely. You know, so on the one hand, they say sheep are pretty dumb, but on the other hand, maybe they're not so dumb. But it's interesting how when you read the scriptures, we are talked about as sheep. So I don't know how smart you are today, but you know, we have the capacity to understand and hear the shepherd's voice and to obey the shepherd and to respond to the shepherd. And so here we have in the 23rd Psalm just a picture of how much Jesus, the shepherd, cares for his people. And that's why when I thought of the 23rd Psalm, I thought of this hammock that sits in front of you, because this epitomizes to me what complete confidence and rest is all about when I lay down in that hammock. Because I have not a care in the world when I'm laying there, because I trust that frame and this hammock completely because of experience, because I've sat on it before. But to know and to understand that there is a way that we can have complete rest today, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how hard life seems, that we can still experience rest when we know the shepherd, when we listen to hear his voice, and then we respond to it. David begins the 23rd Psalm with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Very significant words that David, the writer, writes in this short psalm. The Lord, he is my shepherd. So there's a personal relationship with the shepherd. And when you think of the shepherd, you automatically, as I was preparing, go to John chapter 10, the passage that I read earlier. And John chapter 10 talks about the good shepherd. The good shepherd offers security. The good shepherd offers shelter. The good shepherd offers salvation. The good shepherd offers signature. Now, I kind of wonder, what in the world is signature? It just sort of, the commentary I took this from has this alliteration, you know, always using the letter S. So it came up with signature, but it means belief. It means we listen to the shepherd with that idea of the good shepherd offering signature. And then, fifthly, the good shepherd offers safety. All these things are wrapped up in those few words that David begins this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." All these things are a part of the relationship we have with our shepherd. Our shepherd being Jesus, God's own son. Now, since King David wrote this psalm, probably later in his life, he experienced the life of a shepherd. His early years, that's all he did. He looked after his father's sheep. And actually, when they were looking for a new king to replace King Saul, David's father, Jesse, brought out all his brothers for them to sort of go through, will this son be the king, new king? No. This son? No. And he had all these other brothers. Well, David wasn't even in the mix because he wasn't around, because he was out looking after the sheep. And so Jesse, David's father, had to tell him to come in from the fields, bring the sheep home, and then he was chosen as the next king of Israel. So he has experience as a shepherd. And he knows about sheep. And he realizes the significance of being a good shepherd. And he understands in this later part of his life how important it is that God is his shepherd. And he describes the care that he's received from his shepherd, the Lord, the best possible care available. And that's one of the things that a shepherd does with his sheep. He looks after them. You can imagine out in the wilderness, you've got a herd of hundreds of sheep. You know, every so often they get into trouble. They get caught up in the thorns and the thickets and those kinds of things. They get cut and bruised, and the shepherd has to look after them. And he has to tend to them. The New Testament talks about the missing sheep. You know, there are some sheep that have a tendency to stray, to go on their own, off on their own. And the shepherd has to stop and go find them and then bring them back. And oftentimes they're injured, so he has to tend to them. And so he understands how the Lord is his shepherd and that there is no want. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, in that first verse. And it talks about the Lord's care in this life and how important it is to know and experience the care that comes to us every single day of our life. 24/7. There's not a day our shepherd misses. Now, I wish we could say that about our own responsibilities. You know, oftentimes we miss an appointment, or we say we'll do something and then we will forget about it and we go off and do something else. Well, for the shepherd, there's a confidence in knowing that he cares about us in this life, and that's significant. He talks about that there is no lack of anything. There's no lack of food, because it says that in the next verse, he makes us lie down in green pastures. Now just think of this hammock in your backyard. I don't know what kind of backyard you have, but the nice green grass all around you. You know, the trees, the wind's blowing through the trees. You know, in my backyard, we have a little pond with a waterfall, so you hear the water running. You know, very pastoral. You know, and very comforting when you sit in the yard. Well, it says we have no lack because we are told to lie down in green pastures. Well, we're not sheep. We don't eat grass. At least I don't think any of us eat grass. If you are eating grass, we need to talk to you, I think. But we are given sustenance for our life, for every day, and that sustenance, that food that is available to us, comes in the form of this book, God's holy word, the Bible. And so when the psalmist says that he makes him lie down in green pastures, what it's saying is he takes him to the word of God. And the word of God is what feeds us, what keeps us healthy, what helps us to grow. You know, you hear about different countries around the world where there's famine and the struggle that people have just to survive from one day to the next because there's no food. That's physical food. And it's tough when you see and hear of how some people have to live in this great world of ours, where we here in North America have such an abundance that it's almost a sin that we have so much compared to other parts of the world that have nothing. And they rely on North Americans to be generous in sending food and money to these other places around the world. Well, here we have complete sustenance, everything we need for our spiritual growth. The green pastures are found in God's Word. And that's why we emphasize here in this church the importance of reading your Bible. Because if our spiritual life is going to grow, then we must feed on His Word. And it's His Word that will cause us to grow. It's not the pastor's words. It's not what you talk about with one another that causes growth. It's God's Word that causes growth in our spiritual life. And if we're not reading it consistently, then you must understand that your spiritual life will be sickly, will be stunted. You won't experience growth because you are not feeding on His Word. And so food, he lacks nothing in food. He lacks nothing in refreshment because he is led by the still waters. We were at the cottage a couple weeks ago, And we were on, the cottage was on this lake, Lake Kachawanuka. It's part of the Trent-Severn waterways. And in the morning, if you got up early enough, which I didn't ever very often, but a couple times I did, the water was like a mirror, not a ripple in it. There's just a little bit of a mist on it, but those waters were still. There was nothing that was causing the water to be any waves or ripples. And then in that stillness, a fish would jump. And, you know, you get excited about seeing a fish jump out of the water. And then the ripples that would come as a result of that. But then, shortly after, you know, mid-morning, the winds would pick up, and that lake that was a mirror is now full of waves and tossing and turning. But here, David is saying that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The still waters are the spiritual refreshment that we receive from Him, from God. And, you know, we need that spiritual refreshment. We live in a very tiring and exhausting world. There's no doubt about that. You don't have to go very long before you're torn every which way with people wanting your attention, people, your wife, your husband, your children, do this, do that, your boss, you know, your friends want to go, you know, and all this. There's all this turmoil. And even in the church, you know, some of your fellow sheep are very trying at times and cause turbulence in your life. But it says that the refreshment is found by the still waters. Where are the still waters? The still waters, again, it's all part of the picture of God's Word. It's all part of what we receive from the Scriptures this morning. And we're rejuvenated because we can recall and apply the things that we learn in God's Word that help refresh us over and over and over again. And all these things are found in His Word. You go from refreshment to forgiveness and renewal, where it says in the next verse, He says, He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So there's forgiveness and renewal in this relationship with God. You know, I mentioned earlier how sheep have a tendency to stray. Well, you know, because we are like sheep, we too, the Bible says, have gone astray. And each one has gone his own way, the Bible tells us. And yet the shepherd does not give up on us. And that's a great reminder and a real boost for us today to know that even though we do stray, you know, even though we wander away, Jesus still pursues us to bring us back. He wants us to come back to the sheepfold. So he forgives us and He renews our relationship with us. We will never stray so far away that we are beyond the arm of God's grace to bring us back. I've had many different counseling situations where people have given up the faith because they feel that God has given up on them because they have been so far from God. And I take him to the Word and I say, no, he never gives up. There's no way that we can get that far away from God that he doesn't draw us back, have the power to draw us back. And that's part of his grace, his sufficient grace that helps us to realize that his love, his mercy, and his grace is all part of that commitment to us, no matter what we do when we stray away. So there's food, there's refreshment, there's forgiveness and renewal, and then there's direction and guidance. Direction and guidance. Because he leads us in the paths of righteousness, it says. Many times people get involved in the discussion of where is or what is the Lord's will for my life. Oftentimes young people are significantly drawn to that question, trying to determine how do I find the Lord's will. And you know, we try to tell them different means, and many times people get confused trying to find the Lord's will without realizing the issue is not some mystical or some mystery of finding it, but to realize our job is to be close, to try and stay as close as we can to the Lord in this life. And there'll never be a question of his will, because we are so close to him, he just leads us every step, and we can have the confidence of knowing that he will take us in the direction that he desires for us to accomplish his will for us. So we don't need to be looking for it. We need to just experience the reality that God wants us to be very, very close to us. And when we are in the Word, when we are on our knees praying, when we are in fellowship with other believers, when we're talking about spiritual things, we have a tendency to hear God's voice. And we respond accordingly because we are walking hand in hand with Him every moment of every day. So rather than trying to find something, experience what we already have. That being the presence of God right there with us. The Bible says he sticks closer to us than a brother. That's close. That's close. And he wants to walk with us every step of every day. And when we are in tune with the Lord as our shepherd, through the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will not only hear his voice, but we'll know it. And we'll respond to it. And we will be experiencing his perfect will for us, for our life. And that's the confidence that we get from a psalm like this. There's a writer, his name's Peter Jeffrey, says, our problem is not really one of guidance. Our problem is one of closeness to God. You see, when we walk close to God, then he's going to confront us about our sinful tendencies. He's going to tell us and communicate to us that those things that we're thinking about, those things we're actually doing, are wrong and are sinful, and they need to be dealt with. And some of us don't like walking that close to people that expose our sin. Yeah, but that's what he does when we walk close to him. And if you're committed to becoming an image of Jesus Christ in this world, then it's imperative that we walk that close to our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only does God help us and our shepherd guide us with care in this life, but he also does in death. He also does it in death. Now, death isn't something we like to talk about today. If you were to speak with any young person, they think they're invincible, that they'll never die. Yesterday on the 401, there was a young, probably 20-year-old guy on a motorcycle, just zipping in and out, like not even enough room for a car to get between cars, and he's just zipping in and out, in and out, in and out, as he's racing down the 401 in a packed four-lane highway. Well, a lot of people live their life that way, thinking that I'm invisible. Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. He'll be surprised one day when he goes one way and a car goes the other way, that they'll meet unexpectedly, and that'll be the consequence. But we have resistance to talk about death. None of us like to talk about what happens when this physical body dies. And we need to understand that in death we also receive the Lord's care. Because whether we like it or not, every single one of us in this room is going to die. Every one of us. There's no way that you can get away from that. Unless the Lord returns before we physically die, but if he doesn't, every single one of us will cease breathing. Now, you don't know if that's going to come tomorrow, or 20 years from now, or 50 years from now. None of us know when that time will come, but every single one of us should expect it to come. And so we need to understand, well, what happens when it comes? And the psalmist deals with this in verse 4, where he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they will comfort me. One of the commentaries, Matthew Henry, says that there is terror in the word death, but it gives way with four very simple words. The first word is shadow. The psalmist writes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A shadow may appear to be frightening, but it has absolutely no power to harm us, because it's just an image. There's no substance in a shadow. The shadow that death makes has already been dealt with by Jesus on Calvary. He's defeated death. That's what his death on the cross is all about. He has brought victory over this scary, terrible thing called death. And so all that remains is a shadow. The shadow has no power whatsoever. The shadow is just there, a lingering aspect of death, but it has no power to hurt us or to concern us. Even though death is unpleasant and as forbidding as it might be, it cannot do any real harm to the child of God, because Jesus has removed the substance of death and left only a shadow. Now, the substance of death is that eternal separation from the Creator of the universe. And death brings separation. And so Jesus took care of that separation for the child of God, because he is the one that built a bridge between you and I in our sinful state and a holy and righteous God who created us. And so now the only thing that remains is a shadow. And then you go on with, it's not just a shadow, but also a valley. Now, in the scriptures, they talk about valley experiences and mountaintop experiences. Usually the mountaintop experiences are the times where we're so excited. We're celebrating, we're experiencing the joy of our living relationship with God, and we have these mountaintop experiences. And then the valley experiences are the times when there's struggle, there's heartache, there's pain. But whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in the valley, there's always things to learn. There's always ways to be taught. And whether we are experiencing great joy or going through difficulties and struggles, there is still fruitful things that we can understand about ourselves and our Creator. And the valley gives us that experience to experience the comforts of God. And then the third word is walk. So we walk through the shadow or through the valley of the shadow of death, it says. And walking just describes movement. And it's important to realize when we are going through a valley situation, we don't stay there. We keep moving. And when David says that I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am in movement. I am in process. I don't stop and camp out. I don't build my house in the valley. I experience the difficulties, but I keep moving. And I keep moving by walking, putting one foot in front of the other, and just moving through it. And then it talks about through. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That it's not a place to stay. We get through it. We move beyond it. We don't stay in those struggles, those difficulties. There's movement and we get out of it. We move out of it and experience the joys again. So even when there's a death in our life, a loved one, a friend, or whatever, we don't stay there and continue to mourn the loss. We get over it because we are in the process of moving through it. Just as David mentioned, it's not a place to stop. It's not a place to have a picnic. It's a place to keep moving, to travel through. And one of the experiences we have in death is the peace. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? It says, because He is with me. So we never go through these experiences alone. And that's another thing that gives us the rest and the peace. Because of the fact that He is our shepherd, He will lead us through. And that we are not doing this by ourselves. Can you, just as we reflect on that this morning, can we sort of see how significant this hammock is? What David has told us is the rest that we have when we lay down in a hammock. The confidence, the knowing that our shepherd cares for us in this life. The knowledge that the shepherd cares for us in death. The peace that that gives us. The scriptures talk about the peace that passes all understanding. And that comes from knowing the shepherd. Now, in the next couple verses, there's a switch in David's writing. He's gone from the shepherd boy to the king now. And he writes from his kingly experience. And he's no longer talking about sheep in the flock, but rather being a guest at a banquet, at a great celebration, a great banquet in verse 5 and 6, where he tells us that the Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over, or cup overflows. The shepherd cares for the needs of his sheep, and so does the host of the banquet care for the need of all his friends, all his family. Now he, as the host in this life, he, in verse 5, he affirms that God's provides for his guests are both constant and abundant. Now, the only thing I can relate to this kind of banquet is like having a free ticket at the Mandarin. I think most of us have been to the Mandarin restaurant, and the spread they have out before you is unbelievable. You know, just looking at it makes my stomach sore because I know the consequences of me being at the Mandarin. And that kind of banquet, that kind of spread is what God's preparing for us. He's prepared it for us in this life, and then as you look at verse 6, he prepares it for the next life. That's what we have to look forward to. That kind of experience where you'll saddle up to the buffet and just eat until you're full and know that you can come back at any time and eat. He prepares for us a table in the presence of mine enemies. He emphasizes the abundance of God's care in those terms. He says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. We are special in God's sight. The anointing shows the reality of the relationship. When there's a close relationship, when you go to visit somebody in this day and that David is writing in, your head is anointed with oil. And it's usually a sweet smelling oil that they put on your head. Because they love you. They're glad that you're there. You're a part of them. And not only the oil, but also it says, my cup overflows. There's abundance beyond what we need or expect. And that abundance comes from a relationship with God himself. You know, so many people say, well, you know, to be a Christian means I have to give up so much. I can't do this. I can't do that. There are so many rules and regulations. Why would I want to be a Christian? Well, they don't understand what it means to be in a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe who has all things given to us. He needs to quit coughing because he's making me cough now. But that's the type of abundance that comes in a relationship. It's not doing without, it's experiencing all the blessings that God has for us. Everything is given to us as his family, as his friend, as his child. And then he goes on and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So it's not just a one day experience, it's every day of every week, of every month, of every year, for our entire life. Goodness and mercy. There's a couple Sunday school songs that come to mind when I read those words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I wrote them out, but I left them in my office because I didn't want to traumatize you with my singing this morning. I don't know how good I'd be today. But nonetheless, God is the host in this life, and then in the last part, he's also host in the next life, where it says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. How long is forever? That's right. It never ends. It's forever. So that is something that we can look forward to. That once we're through this life, we have forever after in the presence of a holy and righteous, loving, merciful God. And this shepherd is not just here for today, but he's with us tomorrow, and the tomorrow is when we'll be with him in eternity. And that's what a relationship with this shepherd is all about. And I don't think you can read this psalm as a child of God's and not feel like laying down in his hammock. Because that gives us complete confidence that no matter what this world throws at us, it doesn't matter. Because my confidence rests in God, not in the things of this world. I can have peace in the midst of discouraging circumstances. I can have rest knowing that no matter what's going on around us, I trust my shepherd, Jesus, who loved you and me so much that he gave up his life so that he could have a relationship with us. That he could take care of this ugly thing called death and enable us to have a bridge to his Father who's in heaven, waiting for each one of us to arrive. Kind of gives you chills when you think of that. Because that's the hope that we as believers cling to, and that's why it gives us rest. That's why we experience peace. Now, for those of us that haven't a relationship with God, then there will be no peace. It'll be like laying in this thing and it's shaking all over. And you try and get in this when it's moving. And I will guarantee I know exactly where you'll be. You'll be right underneath it. That's how important a relationship with God is. If you want rest and peace today, then give your heart to Jesus. That is the only answer. And unfortunately, there are many, many shepherds in this world that are leading people astray. They're not the shepherd that Jesus, of the psalm that David writes of. Satan is also a shepherd, a deceitful shepherd, an evil shepherd that is taking people away from God. You have to understand that. The shepherd I speak of is a shepherd that David speaks of in God's word, and you need to know him and be able to distinguish Satan's voice from Jesus' voice. Just as the sheep know the shepherd's voice, so will you when you give your heart to Christ. I guarantee that. And as you study his word, you'll be able to hear it clearer and clearer every day. As you walk this life with him, every moment of every day. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and thank you for the significance of the rest that we experience as a result of our relationship with Jesus, our true shepherd, that great shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. We're glad that we're glad to know and have confidence that our shepherd knows us. And we in turn know him and know his voice. Father, help us as we live this life in this world to be able to rest in you. And I pray for my friends here this morning that don't know you personally. I pray that they will understand that you are the giver of life. A great life, full of blessing, beyond what we can ever imagine. And we want to thank you for Psalm 23 this morning. We just give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll ask the worship team to come and lead us in our last song, please.